Hello, Jordan.
Michael.
Weekly podcasts.
And book. Book launch. Book is here.
Book is here. I got my physical copies, which are
sweet. Get mine yet.
Yours are on the
way.
Yours will be there. They feel great.
They look like a legit book.
Yes, they are a legit book. It's HarperCollins. What, like, you know?
Yeah. HarperCollins. Crushing it. All right. I can't wait. Wait, did they mail me mine? Did they say that? Did they tell us that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we saw the box and saw it was from Harper and opened them up, and man, it actually, I spent an hour yesterday replying to DMs. I told you this. It was exhausting. Reminds me of my glory days, which may be making a comeback. Who knows? But, when I opened those books, it was the first time in half a decade when I felt a legitimate desire to post something on my story. Like, the first thought I had was, wow, this is so cool. I want to share this on my Instagram story.
Wow. And you did. You did share it.
And I did. Forgot the link. A lot of people were asking how they could buy it. I realized, you know, I'm a little rusty, but it'll come back quick. But they are very nice. It feels like a lot of hard work and time and effort has come to fruition. So
they're
available for pre-sale. Our publisher really wants us to sell. Pre-sale is the time period that matters most. So from now until June 7th. So if you want to support.
Which I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
And so if you go to, we'll put the link in the show notes, but it's eatit-book.com. And there's like Amazon links, Apple links, Barnes & Noble, all this stuff. We didn't know this either, but apparently in order to be a New York Times bestseller, if it's all on Amazon or the majority of orders are on Amazon, like, it will count against us. So if you wanted to try and see us on the New York Times bestseller list, it would help to order from like Barnes & Noble or any of the other options on eatit-book.com. But honestly, it doesn't really matter. Like, if wherever you can get it from, we appreciate it. If you're a coach listening to this, that's who the majority of people are, odds are you know everything in this book. So it's like, it's not going to be like a huge learning thing for you, but it will probably be good for your clients. And if nothing else, it might be a good opportunity to learn like new ways to phrase things for your clients, new analogies to use with your clients. Not necessarily like as a teaching tool. You're not going to learn about the physiology of the human body in this book, but it is going to help you be a better communicator with your clients that will help them understand higher level concepts on an easier to understand basis. So, and if you don't buy the book, that's fine as well, but it is available, and we would really appreciate it if you did.
Yes, sir.
What else we got, Michael?
How was your role today? You said it was an especially hard one.
Yeah, it was tough. I have a competition this Saturday.
What?
So, yeah, competition this Saturday.
In 2 days?
Yeah, 2 days. Today's Thursday.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, I can keep some things to myself if I want. Save them for the pod.
Apparently, that's a trick out of my sleeve.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Usually, I got a little comp on Saturday.
What are you weighing right now?
Like 150. So I don't have to cut any weight. I've been drinking a lot of wine and eating a lot of carbs and doing a lot of cardio. And so got a competition. It's a big one. It's Jiu-Jitsu World League. It's a big competition, and it's like the biggest competition in Texas. So
where is it?
It's in Dallas. It's like I think it's like 45 minutes from where I live, which would be great. So I'm excited. So today was a tough training. It was, we were working on these scrambles. And so in wrestling and jiu-jitsu, any grappling sport, a scramble is like where you're not in a position in which there's clear control. It's like you're both scrambling to try and establish control of the other one. And it's the most exhausting because once you're in an established position of control, like where there's one person on top of the other person, you can sort of relax a little bit. Like, you have control. You don't need to be exerting so much energy. But when it's a scramble, it's just think all out sprint, like all out sprint, trying to get control of the other person before they get control of you. And so that's like all we worked on today. It was exhausting.
So you train full speed 100% up until 2 days before. So will tomorrow be a day off or like a lighter session?
Yeah, tomorrow's just light, low level, just practice technique, get a good sweat in, but there's no hard training tomorrow. Some people do. Some people will train hard the morning of. Like there's just some people who like to just train. But tomorrow I'll take a very light day and then, yeah, then we'll be good to go.
Nice, man.
How about you? What's going on with you?
Just recovering from my COVID-19 infection.
Oh, man. Yeah, you said it really hurt your throat. It was like knives in your throat.
It was definitely worse than I expected it to be. That's for sure. You know what's really interesting? We've talked so much about resting heart rate and our Garmin watches and paying attention to different data markers that we historically hadn't paid attention to. My resting heart rate sits between 49, I guess, and 52 is kind of the range it's been over the last couple of months. And so I guess this was last week, a week and a half ago, Monday, my resting heart rate was 57 out of nowhere. And then Tuesday, it was 58. And I felt a little weird and I felt like something was off. I thought it was allergies, perhaps. I had a little tickle in the back of my throat. Didn't think a whole lot of it. And then Tuesday night, in the middle of the night, I went to bed at 10. I woke up at 1 a.m. My bed was soaked. I had, I think, broke a fever, I guess. I'm not really sure. But I was literally soaking wet and I couldn't get back to sleep. From 1 to 4 a.m., I was up kind of moving around to the couch, you know, bopping around. And then Wednesday morning, took a test, tested positive. And yeah, sore throat was the worst thing that I had. But the two things I found most interesting were that uptick in resting heart rate as my body was beginning to fight off the infection. And two is I then took a full 7 days of zero caffeine. I just had no desire for it. You know, still was able to work most of those days and do things, but didn't have a drop of caffeine. And when I checked my resting heart rate, probably after 5 days of no caffeine, it was down to a 40. I sent it to you. I think it was 45, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. Caffeine really does have an impact on it, which it's really cool to see.
But you had reminded me that it doesn't have an impact on heart rate above approximately 120. So if you're using heart rate to gauge what zone your cardio is in and you're ingesting a reasonable amount of caffeine, it's not going to impact your heart rate at that level, but it does bump resting heart rate a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I thought was really interesting because I didn't know that until Alex Viotta explained it, but it does make sense, but I was worried about having too much caffeine specifically because of that. But it is really interesting. Have you started drinking caffeine again now that you're like, or no, have you not had much caffeine?
Today, and I find myself like agitated and like really? Ready to go in a lot of ways, yeah.
Was your workout good?
I mean, I was coming off of, I think, 9 days off of training. And so I wasn't trying to do a lot, but yeah, I felt good in there. It wasn't a super intense session.
Would you ever give up caffeine completely?
Yeah. I mean, I have for periods of time and I would, you know, there's I forget who said it, but someone said that basically all men have a vice. And it was a person from the 1700s or 1800s. So they were using man to describe human. And caffeine, I don't have many vices, right? Like I don't drink, I don't smoke. A lot of the other commonly used vices by people in this day and age, some who don't even consider them vices, I don't partake in. But caffeine is one, because caffeine's a drug and it's one that I really enjoy. And so I don't know if I would eliminate caffeine, but I'd be open to it.
Okay, cool. I like that.
I don't get the negative impact of the, you know, anxiousness, the any of the negative repercussions, that sleep inhibition, just because I'm smart with my timing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd consider it.
Okay, cool. Good stuff, brother.
What else do we have here?
Should we just end the episode here? Good pod.
And buy, eat it. Link in description. I don't know if I was just like, if it was the lack of caffeine and then going into a solid amount of caffeine, but I wrote down during my lift this morning something that I think you'll find interesting.
Okay.
So I'm walking by the TV in the gym. There's a line of TVs that are turned on, which pisses me off to no end, depending on how I'm feeling that day. But there was a quote on, because, you know, half of it's the news, right? And I walk by and it said on the TV, men can get pregnant. Men can have abortions. And literally, I felt this flip inside of me, because in my most recent YouTube video, I talked a lot about like creation versus consumption and how I have been consuming more content of various, like going in Twitter holes, COVID led to more consuming Twitter info, and then COVID got blended in with politics, and spending more time consuming political information than I ever have in my life. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that headline, I was just like, I am so done with consuming it. Like, literally my initial instinct was, I want to build an awesome home gym so that I don't have to have this information put in front of me.
Yeah.
Because I remember, before Trump was saying fake news, before fake news was even a thing, I remember in 2014 being like, I had a 40 rules for life blog post on the regimen. And one of them was never watch the news.
Hmm.
And something to the effect of like, you're either, you don't want to be uninformed, so you feel like you want to watch the news, but by watching the news, you're simply going to be misinformed because their incentive structures aren't aligned with giving you the truth. They're aligned with giving them maximal eyeballs to make maximal dollars. And so before anyone was saying, don't watch the news, I knew for myself that I was a worse version of myself if I was consuming news content. And when I walked by and I saw that men can get pregnant, men can have abortion, I was like, I don't even need to go deeper on this. This is a sign from God that is like, shift your focus and attention away from consuming nonsense and shift it into creating. Shift it into, you know what? I got another parallel here. As you know, as I've told you, the crypto and NFT market is getting slaughtered right now. And I've lost more money there than I feel good about. And it really makes me just like, when I've heard you talk about invest in yourself and invest in things you can control, it really gives me this perspective shift of like, Was I lazy in letting my foot off the gas, just maintaining income for a number of years rather than trying to grow it, seeing these at the time lucrative investment opportunities and like thinking that that was just real life? Like it was a shift towards, all right, I'm back. I'm serious about focusing more on business. I want more of my time and attention to be spent on creating rather than consuming, and like put my blinders on like a horse racing, it was about to come out the gate, ready to go, not thinking about what other people are saying, not thinking about what other people are doing, not thinking about all this bullshit that's getting fed down our throats, but literally just zeroed in on the regimen, mentorship, content, like, let's go. And we have done that, you and I, reasonably well, given that we haven't missed a single week of podcasting. But I mean, like, turn it up, like, make a content schedule, stick to it, like, use that anger as fuel, let's go. And anytime I feel the desire to open Twitter and like look at who knows what, because I don't even go for it, it literally just finds me, it's like, yeah. No, like, I might even get a screenshot. I might get a men can get pregnant, men can get abortions, can have abortions, like, sticker, like, put it on like you know, the anger wall. You wake up, see these like five quotes next to my bed. It's like, all right, I'm ready to start the day.
Make it your screensaver on your phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see that today?
I saw that this morning. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Was that why you were in a bad mood this morning?
I don't think I was in a bad mood. I think I was just fired up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I still am.
I've seen that everywhere lately. ever. It's been showing up all over social media. There's been, yeah, it's, I didn't expect you to go down that route for the podcast, to be honest.
Well, I don't think we need to go in depth. I don't think we need to talk about, like, I think it doesn't pass the common sense test. Like, I
can
get
I just
it.
Say something? This is something that I have to say, and like, this is going to go down a rabbit hole. I'm sure some people are going to be mad, but can I just say something that doesn't make sense? Aside from literally everything that you just said, obviously, like, but can we just, I'm not talking about beliefs around abortion or any of that. I'm not talking about that. Okay. So this is separate from the discussion. But one of the things that people will say who are very pro-choice, okay, so we have pro-choice, pro-life, which I think there's got to be like sort of a middle ground that we like, it's not just like definitively one or the other. If we're really going to get nuanced with the discussion, we have to look at more in the middle. But let me just say this. This is, I think, something that's sort of odd for the crowd that's saying their men can get pregnant and have abortions, because that same crowd also says men shouldn't have a say on whether or not women can have abortions, right? They always say if you, like, that's one of their main slogans, like men shouldn't have an opinion on what women do with their bodies. But now they're saying that men can get pregnant and have abortions. So shouldn't men also be able to have a say just based on that logic? Now, I disagree with the logic of men shouldn't have an opinion on it, period. Like, I disagree with that, like, just for many reasons. We could go down that whole rabbit hole if we really wanted to. But just because someone doesn't have the body parts to allow them to get pregnant doesn't mean they can't have an opinion on it. But either way, just based on their logic, saying men shouldn't have an opinion on it, but now they're saying men can get pregnant and men can have babies. Well, shouldn't now men be able to have an opinion on it just based on their logic? Or am I just completely out of my fucking mind? I feel like I'm in a clown world.
I think we are living in a bit of a clown world. I know that hearing this, the nuance of this discussion lights such a fire under my ass to be like, you know what? I'm going to take it back to the 90s when you just didn't really talk about politics, and I'm going to try and help people with their fitness, and I'm going to grow my business, and I'm going to zero in on what I want to do. And if I, you know, happen to go on a podcast when the person like comes cold with a first question like this on me, I'm just going to be like, you know, I don't really know, but if you want to talk about something fitness related, I'm happy to. There's,
you know what though?
You don't have to. If you want to start a political podcast, I think you should. And I think people should tune into that. And that would be amazing.
That should be this podcast.
No, I can't tell you how disinterested I am in. I'm literally going full Michael Jordan. Democrats and Republicans both buy sneakers. I don't talk politics. Like, and there are another part of me is like, there has to be a massive crowd of people who are sick of hearing about politics. So I would be happy to be the breath of fresh air where they can come to wherever I am and not talk about politics. Yes, but I'll spend a minute here with you on this because I think you're 100% right. There's a massive degree of hypocritical thinking under
logical
that line.
Inconsistency. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, but here's the thing though. I think there are people who are sick of hearing about politics, but I think it's because people are sick of hearing the nonsense. They're sick of being like, have this stuff shoved down their throat. I think it's been interesting because I avoided politics for many years and I still do to an extent, but like, I'm not afraid to express my opinion on freedom of speech or the Second Amendment or any of that. Like I've become more and more comfortable sharing that. And what I've found is that I don't go in depth on it. I'm not spending too much time, but I have found that when I do talk about it, people are happy to hear simple, basic, logical reasoning as opposed to the standard, like outrageous stuff that's specifically designed to get an emotion out of you. That's like a lot of the nonsensical stuff. So even like, if you're not interested in talking about politics, that's one thing. But I think it's like, it's been interesting and fun for me, but also it's just been, the feedback has been a lot of gratitude from people being like, I usually don't like talking about politics, but I like hearing about it because it's just a very grounded, simple, straightforward approach, just like your fitness stuff. And also it's been hard for me in the last 2.5+ years now to ignore it, right? There's just been so much going on that it's been hard for me to just pretend like stuff isn't happening. You know what I mean? Like it's hard for me to only talk about fitness when there's some like huge things going on in the world. You know what I mean?
But there's always been huge things going on in the world.
Correct. Correct. There always is, but now they're more in our face because of social media, right? Like they're more, we're more aware of them.
Yeah. Yes. But, and what I'm saying is I'm making myself unaware of them because I'm so uninterested and I'm interested in other things. Like I know that you've stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning arguing with a stranger for 5 hours in the DMs over something related to politics. I don't want that. That sounds miserable.
Me either. I don't want that either.
Well, it sounds like you do if it's a good,
no, I don't
if it's
want
a good
that.
Centered
that was,
logical discussion.
That was a one-time thing in the last couple of years.
No. There's been...
The most recent one was a one-time thing and that was a couple months ago.
No, it wasn't a one-time thing. There are a couple subjects that I know that really like...
You could say the subjects, like Israel obviously is a big one.
Yeah, Israel.
The Middle East.
is one. But then there was one with like, you know, Russia, Ukraine, Trump's fault. Like, I don't remember, but I know it wasn't Middle East. It was something along those. Yeah. Geography with Mike and Jordan here at the How to Become a Personal Trainer podcast. I'm saying
it's sort of like it's sort of like Mind Pump, right? Like I love how those guys just talk about whatever, you know, and so and they can talk about fitness and they can also talk about politics. Like I don't know, it's because when you and I talk, we talk. That's what I love about this podcast is like you and I just talk. It's not like we're just making content, you know.
100%. We talk about what we're both interested in, which
yeah,
you know, is no longer politics.
Like what we're both interested in is no longer politics.
I'm not. What I'm saying is that it's not about what I want to talk about or not talk about. It's what I want to actually consume for myself versus not consume.
Yeah. I get that.
Like I'm gonna go back to turning TVs off at gyms, like I did back in the day.
And walking around with your shoes off.
Yeah. And my shirt off too. I'm going to
do it.
Yeah, I am. I remember Greg Plitt on the show Workout on Bravo back in
the day.
Rest
in peace, Greg Plitt, man. Yeah,
he was a G. He was so far ahead of his time. He was working out in a gym shirtless and like some employee of the gym came over and was like, sir, like you have to wear your shirt when you're working out. And he just looked like peeled out of his mind, like just fitness. He was like the OG fitness model. And he gave this like speech about, don't you want other people in the gym to be inspired by like what they could achieve? If they... I was just like, this guy's awesome. Like,
oh man. So if we're not interested in politics, what are we interested in?
I told you, getting jacked.
Just fitness.
Getting jacked, getting healthy, help other people get jacked, help other people get healthy, grow my business, help other people grow their business.
And jiu-jitsu.
And then, and golf, and like family time, and I can't wait to go shooting with you when I come visit Texas.
Oh yeah, nice.
Getting really good at golf. I'm hoping to, now that I'm back in Minnesota, I'm hoping to play a men's league hockey, although all my buddies are like, have kids, and like, it's hard to like get them to rally to do something like that, so I don't know if we'll be able to make that happen or not, but I would like to. And focused on those things that I mentioned, plus those leisurely activities.
All right. So you pick the topics that we'll discuss and I'll pee it up.
We can talk about anything. We've never talked about politics on here.
We always talk about politics.
Jordan. Come on. David, back me up. This is a great episode. Unfortunately, that is my list of...
That's all we have for today?
Oh, I got something interesting, actually. You'll never believe this in a million years.
Tell me.
If I gave you infinite guesses, you wouldn't get it.
Okay, so I can't guess.
I am no longer... I'm going to try a schedule where I no longer consume any protein or calories post-workout.
What? There's no way. What? Well, how to... What? This does not sound like Mike Vacanti.
Yeah.
Who has...
infiltrated my brain.
What? Yeah. What's going on? No protein or calories after your workout.
Mm-hmm.
You work out at like 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get all your food in pre-workout.
So I'm not going to have anything immediately post. And here's why. Basically, I want to have more calories later in the day just for like satiety, enjoyment, you know, not having worry.
Yeah.
And because I'm having 30, 35 grams of protein pre-workout, and it's a very small pre-workout meal, and so I have it pretty close before my workout. When I then have a post-workout protein, it's only been like 2.5 hours since my pre-workout, sometimes 2 hours since my pre-workout, which is an unnecessary dosing of protein. And so I'm going to wait 1, 2, sometimes 3 hours. I'm not going to go longer than 5 hours without protein from pre-workout to my next meal. But what that is going to allow me to do is save some calories, push that meal a little further back, and be able to have more calories later on in the day.
I thought when you first said it that you were only going to eat in the morning and then not for the rest of the day at all. But you're just saying nothing immediately post-workout.
Correct.
Because historically you've been a big anabolic window guy.
I still am a massive anabolic window guy. But I had never – one, I always trained fasted historically.
Oh, okay.
And two, when I had a pre-workout meal, I had a pre-workout meal like 2 hours pre-workout. And then, you know, between warm up, get to the gym, get home, that's another 2+ hours. So by then it had been 4 to 5 hours since my last, which is what the research for muscle gain shows is like 5 hours is kind of the upper limit of the window between protein dosing to maximize muscle growth.
That makes sense. And you warm up at home, right?
I mix it up, but you know, with these TVs and this whole like men are having their own abortions going on at the gym I go to.
No politics, Mike.
It's headline reading. It's literally about the gym. I'm hyper focused on making an elite home gym setup. Also, I was in Florida recently and the hotel gym I was at was incredible. It was newly remodeled and there was no one in the gym. And it reminded me of how much I enjoy training by myself. Just like, you know, the spontaneous movements, the mobility that you can do between sets without bumping into people, just the freedom. And as someone who's introverted, the enjoyment of movement alone without other people around is orgasmic.
Can I tell you my favorite part of training in my home gym?
Yes.
I can do it in my underwear.
You and Gary.
I train in my underwear. I was thinking about that. I was doing overhead squats in my underwear, and Alex Viata asked me to send videos of me doing my overhead squats, and I was like, "This might be completely." So I didn't send them, but I was just like, "I love just training in my underwear and being able to make noise, you know, just like being able to like, bah! Like you know, just that whatever, you know, and like sweat on everything, and I don't have to worry about like wiping the sweat up and all that. I can get shock on the ground. I don't have to worry about it. Like I don't want a clean home gym. I just want like a grungy home gym that I can work out in my underwear and just hang out, whatever. So yeah, I like that.
You got it right.
I'm excited for you to come train in the Site Fitness HQ gym.
I can't wait. We'll train in our underwear. We'll make some content. I've been making content
In our underwear workout.
I cannot wait. That could be a program.
People do that already. People do that on social media. Like a lot of people.
Yeah, but not us. And we're going to ramp it up.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to be doing like a bicep curl and I'm going to just have the camera on your butt. And be like, yeah, look at this bicep curl.
Perfect. Perfect. Let's get into Q&A.
Oh, wow. Someone asked, does it matter how quickly you consume protein post-workout?
Well, they just got their answer. If it has been greater than 4 to 5 hours since your last serving of protein, then it matters, is the short answer.
Got it. Okay. Advice on trying to lose weight without thinking about food all day?
It's a cool question. It's hard, right? If you've been in a deficit for a long period of time, or if you are maybe either intentionally or mistakenly in a very large deficit, when hunger is really high, it becomes all you can think about. So either giving yourself a diet break if it's been a long amount of time, or making the deficit you're in smaller rather than trying to lose 2 to 3 pounds a week, being happy with losing a half a pound a week, are a couple things that work. I think just filling your day and your schedule and your life with meaningful, enjoyable, productive things to do that aren't related to fitness, is extraordinarily beneficial. If you're just sitting around twiddling your thumbs waiting for your next meal, of course all you can think about is food. The other thing I actually like doing, which is a bit counterintuitive, is if you're not moving very much, if you're not doing any cardio, adding low intensity cardio is 30, 45, 60 minutes of time where you're not eating. And this is assuming that you're not in a massive deficit and then adding more activity, making you even hungrier. But being out and walking is just like, you can't you could simultaneously eat, but you're not going to be simultaneously eating. And that's just an extra 30 to 60 minutes a day that eating is not an option.
Yeah. Boredom is the enemy of hunger, right? It's like, if you're bored sitting at home, it's so easy just to think about food and just walk into your pantry. It's like, it's so funny when I've had periods of time in my life where I allowed myself to get bored, because it really is, you allow yourself to get bored. Like, there are many things you could do, but when you allow yourself to get bored, it's like, of course you're going to wander into the pantry and go get something to eat. But when there have been times in my life, like right now, I mean, I'm very rarely bored. I just always have stuff to do. I always have stuff going on, and I don't really think about food. And so I think the best thing you could do, like you said, is fill your schedule with things to do. Get out of the house. Like, even going on a walk, like, put that on your schedule. Boom, you have something to do. Stop just sitting down and watching TV and playing video games. Or even, honestly, video games would be better. Like, frankly, I think video games would be better than TV, because at least with video games, you have to be mindful of what's going on. But if you're bored, you are so much more likely just to be thinking about, well, what's next? And especially if you're already counting calories and you're already in a deficit, you will be thinking about food more often. Like, it's part of it. And that's why, one of the reasons why I think hunger can creep up, because you're thinking about food more, because you're being more conscious about what you're eating. It's a normal, natural consequence. But if you're just sitting around all day, lying in bed, lying on the couch, not doing anything, then you're going to be super hungry. It's so funny. Like, yesterday, I didn't have my first meal until 4 p.m., which was just, it was by happenstance. I don't do that normally. It was like not a common thing at all. Usually I'll eat like by 10 a.m. I'll have breakfast and then go to jujitsu and whatever. But yesterday was just crazy. Susan was here working on the inner circle. Then I had a doctor, then I had jujitsu, then I had a doctor's appointment, then I had to come back with Susan. So literally didn't get my first meal until 4, but I was busy nonstop the whole day. And it wasn't until I actually sat down that I got hungry. It wasn't until I sat down and like was ready for my first meal that I noticed hunger. It's sort of like this. It's sort of like, have you ever like had to use the bathroom, but then as soon as you pull into your garage or your parking lot, whatever it is, as soon as you know that the toilet is nearby, it's like, oh, now I've really got to use the bathroom. And then like you race inside and you're trying to go super, super fast. But you went on like for 45 minutes and it was just, it was bad, but like not too bad. But as soon as the toilet's in sight, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I've got to get in there immediately. As soon as you know it's about to happen, then it starts to like come out. So that's the same thing with hunger or with food, where if you're thinking about food all the time, then your hunger is going to be, if it's available all the time, then you're going to be way more likely to be overly hungry. But if you're bored and your mind isn't on it, then you're not going to be noticing it nearly as much.
Yeah. Great.
That didn't get nearly as much of a laugh out of you that I was hoping it would about the bathroom story, but
it's true. It's a good, it is true. I didn't think it was a funny analogy. I thought it was just an apt analogy. I thought it was very accurate.
Well, all right. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, my brother. We also have a very, very detailed section in the book about how to stay full in a calorie deficit.
You know what also, so Spencer Nadolsky was quoted in the book. He had a really interesting section that when he handed it in, I loved it. And I know you did too, Mike. When we were talking about the benefits of building muscle, and we were talking about a lot of the myths about building muscle and how people think that building muscle builds so much extra calories, right? That it burns so many extra calories when it's not. Like 1 pound of muscle burns, what, like 4 to 6 extra calories? It's not like that much, right? So, but what he did talk about was, he's like, even though muscle doesn't necessarily burn as many calories as we think, in order for someone to build muscle, they have to have a certain lifestyle. And so it's often these lifestyle factors that lead to greater energy output as opposed to the necessarily the just the muscle in general, right? So it's not the fact that you've built an extra 10 pounds of muscle. It's, well, what's the lifestyle of someone who does build an extra 10 pounds of muscle? And that is what leads to the higher energy out, higher metabolic rate and all that stuff. And that was such a simple point. But it was very, very profound when you think about it, like the lifestyle factors of someone who's likely to put on 10 pounds of muscle, which, you know, goes back to all of our recommendations, the things that we talk about, you know, getting more steps in, just walking, eating more fiber, emphasizing protein, staying hydrated. It's all of these lifestyle factors that really do make the biggest difference, not the small, small, small aspects that take up the least amount of time.
Absolutely true. Who are you going to ask to help you move? If you were to help ask someone to help you move, is it the person who spent the last 3 years adding 40 pounds of muscle, or is it the person who doesn't lift? It's like, then I know there's a joke in here about not asking your friends to help you move.
Oh, you knew I was just about to tell you that. I have to say this joke. I have to say it now.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I have to tell the story now. Go, get it out of the way.
Well, hang on, let me finish.
All right, you finish.
Because the 4 hours they spend carrying heavy stuff around is going to burn a lot of calories, but they're only doing that because they spent the last 3 years building all that muscle. The habits and lifestyle, the behaviors, the way that someone lives and what having all that muscle allows them to be able to do is a higher calorie expenditure lifestyle than someone who doesn't possess that same muscle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now hit us with it.
So one time I was moving and I think Mike asked, he was like, I think you said like, do you need help moving or something? And I said, no, I'm going to get movers, da 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 da. And I said, but you know, you always know who your friends are by the ones, if they're the ones who help you move. And you said, no, you know who your friends are because your friends won't ask you to help them move because like it's so time consuming and annoying. And then a few months later, you were moving and you're like, hey,
I don't think that's how that played out. I'm almost certain I didn't say
how
that.
How did it play?
I don't know. Yes, not did. Like that, though. Not like that.
And then we moved to your apartment, remember?
Vaguely.
Oh, that was super funny with Rico driving the truck. That was hilarious. And then like Rico is super nervous in the truck and the cops were like, you got to move. Yeah, he's like, guys.
Yeah. I do remember that. Oh, the New York days.
All right. Short, stocky woman with too much muscle mass. How should I train to reduce mass?
I'm just going to answer the question as it was asked, which is assume that this person actually has too much muscle mass and assume that she wants to lose muscle. And the best way to lose muscle is to, one, be in a calorie deficit so that you lose weight, and two, do not resistance train at all.
And keep your protein very low.
Yeah, good addition. And keep protein low. The combination of those three is going to help you lose both body fat, but also lose muscle mass.
All right, I'm going to ask. So someone's asked me this question every time I've done a Q&A recently, and I don't see it right now, but I'm going to reiterate their question. Someone asked every single time, she said, if lifting weights doesn't make women bulky, then how come CrossFit girls are so bulky? What do you think?
There's a few things going on here. One, I just think that if you actually took a true sample of every woman who does or has done CrossFit and lined them up, it would look different than what like a quote unquote CrossFit girl looks like, who are probably elite CrossFitters. And elite CrossFitters have, one, been doing it for a very long amount of time, two, are completely dialed with nutrition and training, three, probably have some genetic elite to them, four, a solid percentage of them are on steroids. Like that is going to help you maximize muscle growth. There's also like, it's not that you can't gain too much muscle. It's just that it's very, very hard to do so. And so those women didn't end up looking like that overnight, right? Like they gained muscle month over month and year over year. And they like that look. They continue to, or they like what that look does for them, or they like the, they enjoy the process of training in the way that gives them that look. And so it's not that you can't gain too much muscle. It's that it's very, very difficult to.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also interesting. This is an interesting discussion. Like there's the whole idea, like you're not going to get too bulky. And I've been guilty of saying that in the years past, but I also think it's, in the fitness industry, especially in the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, women have gotten really excited about building more muscle, which I think is amazing. But the fitness industry is a very small subset of people relative to the entire world, right? The fitness industry is a very, very small subset of people. And we often think that our goals are what everyone else's goals should be. And that's not always the case. And so while a lot of women in the fitness industry have been excited about building more muscle, many women who are not in the fitness industry still don't want to build very much muscle. And even for women in the fitness industry who they aren't bulky relative to like a bodybuilder, they have more muscle mass than many women still would like. And so it's not to say that you can't get bulky, because lifting weights, yeah, it can make you bulky. For example, if you've ever like wanted to grow your glutes, like you're getting bulkier. Essentially, if you're doing heavy lifting to grow your glutes, it's just you don't want to get bulky in the quote unquote wrong places. Like you don't want to get bulky in a place that would make you, like many women, they want to look softer. They don't want to have big bulging muscles. Maybe they want to grow their glutes a little bit, but they don't want like big arms, for example, right? So the reality is it's incorrect to say that they can't do that, because they can. If they train the right way and if they train very intensely and they eat properly and they sleep well, like they can, and they could probably grow enough to where like they didn't want to get that big. Is it going to be difficult? Yes. Is it likely that they'll do it? No, but it is possible. And I think it's important for coaches to understand that just because it might be your goal, it's sort of like when I was powerlifting. Like when I was an elite powerlifter, a lot of my, like I trained many of my clients like powerlifters, even though I shouldn't have. I should not have trained them like powerlifters because they didn't want to be a powerlifter. But because that was my goal, I sort of pushed that onto them. And so now I'm seeing many coaches pushing women into building more muscle. Well, you should like take up more space, do this. It's like, well, that might be what you want, but maybe they don't want that. And that's okay as well. If they do want a little bit of a softer look, they do, like the whole strong is the new skinny. That shit pisses me off, because it's basically you're shaming people for being skinny now. It's like, if you want to be strong, great, but don't shame someone else because like they're skinny or what, you know what I mean? It's like, it's going against their whole ethos or what they say is their ethos in the beginning. So if someone wants to be skinnier or not have as much muscle mass, it's funny when we hear that, oftentimes you have an immediate gut negative response. Like, oh, you don't want muscle mass? Like what's wrong with you? It's like, maybe they just don't want to have more muscle. And that's fine. Like, yeah, there would be many metabolic advantages to it. There are many health benefits to it. But if they don't want that, then it's not your responsibility to force it onto them. And so, like you said, the CrossFit women who are very, very bulky, they're a super small percentage of the population. They're elite athletes. They're elite genetics. They've been training for a super long period of time. They've been training unbelievably intensely. Odds are they're probably on some performance-enhancing drugs or have been in the past. So most women don't have to worry about that. But I do know there are many women who are not in the fitness industry, and even some who are in the fitness industry, but different ends of the fitness industry. For example, like we're in the strength training world, but you go to the Pilates world and there are women who are, they're strong, but like they don't want to lift super heavy. Like they don't want to add too much muscle mass. It's like, even it's funny in the jiu-jitsu community, we see this with people who don't want to build too much muscle because it could get in the way of different movements that they could do. Like too much muscle mass in a certain part of their body could be difficult to accomplish a certain move. So the idea that just building more muscle, especially for women, isn't going to happen, it's false. And it's also wrong to assume that just because you don't think they could get too bulky, and by you, I'm using the proverbial you, not you, Michael, but like you in general, does not mean that like it wouldn't be too bulky for them. It's all subjective.
Great answer. It's so true. It's such like a, I hadn't thought about that in a number of years. The strong is the new skinny. It's like, well, no.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
You can have a lot of lean mass. You can have a medium amount of lean mass. You can have less lean mass, but it's not our job to tell you what your goal should be.
Correct.
It's our job to help you achieve what you want your goal to be. And you're allowed to choose any goal. You're allowed to want to change your body, the way it looks or the way it performs, in any way that you want.
You know who's great with this is Ben Bruno, because Ben Bruno trains a lot of like, not only just famous people, but a lot of like models, like Victoria's Secret models, very, very high-end models. And he's like, their job depends on them not getting too big. Like that's like they do not want. And so he's like, you better believe that I cap them at certain weights on things, because if they start lifting more and more and more, then they will add more lean mass, and they don't want that. It's not, they don't want it. Their jobs don't want it. So he's like, of course, I'm not going to have them lift as heavy as possible. Like I'll stop them at an RPE of like 6 or 7. And we'll still train to get the health benefits of exercise. But if I keep adding more weight, then of course they're going to get bigger. And that's not what they, so it's like, it's, he's spoken about that and it's made a lot of sense. And I've enjoyed it because it goes against a lot of the common dogma that we hear nowadays in the strength world, which is so funny because I think so many people in the strength community, that's all we see. That's all we hear. It's all we read because it's what we're really interested in. And we think that this is right. But this is just a teeny tiny portion of the fitness industry. There's so many other aspects of it that like there, if you, if you're mad that someone wouldn't want to build muscle, or you think that they couldn't build more muscle, like you're sort of out of your fucking mind. Like that's massive ignorance on your part.
And just like, you need to take a look internal, right? Because it's then you have a worldview of like, everyone is supposed to look my way, like the way that I think, yeah, everyone, exactly. The way I think is the best.
Correct. Yeah.
And as much as I joke around about things like ABR, always be recomping, like more lean mass, less fat, like da da da, like to each their own.
Yeah. And it's just important as a coach to know, it's like, if a woman told me, hey, I'm nervous about building too much muscle, like, of course, I'm like, listen, trust me, you're not like the average woman is not going to build too much muscle, but you do have to be aware that like, if you have someone who says, I don't want to build too much muscle, and like they start to say, I feel like I'm building too much. Don't just laugh it off and say, no, you're not. Because maybe they're getting bigger than they want. Yeah, they might. Maybe their quads are getting bigger than they want.
Lats, delts, upper traps, biceps, triceps. Yeah. Like, yes.
Yes, I feel like my quads are getting bigger, and like they are like, I'm glad my glutes are, but my quads are getting too big. So cool. So what you can do is you can lay off quad dominant exercises, and like doing things like hip thrust and glute bridges are great. You'd probably want to lay off something like a Bulgarian split squat, even though it's a great exercise, but maybe it's hitting too much quads. Maybe have them do more deadlifting and have more hip hinging instead of knee dominant movements, so that they can get more stuff for their glutes than their quads. But also reducing the weight is okay. And this is another thing that people need to talk about, is like we're so focused on lifting more, lift more, lift more, lift more. It's like, for what? Like, yeah, getting stronger is really important, but after a certain point there's diminishing returns, right? Whether it's the risk of injury, which, you know, for me, I love it. Like I love lifting heavy and it's important for me to do that. But when I have a client who's, I don't know, a 45-year-old mom of two, like I'm not going to keep pushing her to lift heavy. I'm not going to push her anywhere near the risk of injury. And I'm totally fine keeping her at like an RPE 7 or an 8 for a long time. And if she's like, I don't want to risk it, like maybe I'm getting super nervous lifting this weight, it's like, why would I risk that injury when I know she's got two kids? She's got all, like, what's the point of risking that?
And her life doesn't change if she pulls 165 compared to 275. Like that doesn't.
No, there's no change.
Yeah. Cool discussion.
Yeah. No politics.
The last thing I'll add is, you also, just because you read in a, you know, a book or a magazine or saw on an Instagram post that you're supposed to program at least 10 sets per body part per week. Like if someone says they don't want to grow their upper body, you don't need to give them 15 sets of chest per week. Like you, that's where there's an art and science to programming. And that's where, you know, you as the sculptor, as the creator, as the coach get to design the program specifically to your client's goals.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Someone asked, does monitoring heart rate during strength workouts matter? It's a good question. No, it doesn't. A lot of people have been asking me lately, like, can you be in zone two from lifting weights? And no, zone two is not something you do when you're lifting weights. If anything, when you're really lifting weights, especially heavy, you're using like the anaerobic energy system. Like you're actually like anaerobic, often alactic, especially if you're lifting very, 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 very heavy. You shouldn't be monitoring your heart rate. There's no reason to monitor your heart rate during strength workouts. Heart rate is for more of like the cardio-based stuff. Actually, Alex Viada and I did a whole podcast on this recently, and he explained it probably more eloquently than I could. But during your strength workouts, there's no reason to whatsoever. Focus on your strength, focus on your power output, focus on your technique, and then monitor your heart rate during cardio.
100%. This was awesome.
Is that it? Are we done?
Yeah, we're pushing an hour. This was great.
All right. Eatit-book.com. If you'd like to support, we would love that. If not, totally fine as well. But thank you so much. We'll be back next week because we're doing weekly podcasts.
That's what we do. See you next week.